Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Dark child, nah, nah.
Say my name, no one is around you. Say baby, I love you, if you ain't running games. Say my name, you acting kinda shady. Ain't calling me baby, why the sudden change?
You know what time it is here? It's time for Destiny's Child. Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette covers the Pirates. If you're on 93.7 The Fan, you see his bright and smiley face right in between myself and Paul. Welcome, Andrew. I want to start with
the
pleasure is all yours.
Always is mine, Joe. How are we doing today, guys?
We're doing very well.
Is that a Florida Gators hat you're wearing?
That's a California Golden Seals, the NHL team in the Bay Area before the Sharks.
Okay.
Throwback hat.
That is legendary.
That's legendary. If it was a Florida Gators hat, I was going to tell you, you might need to take that off to do this interview because I don't want to look at it for the duration of this interview. But that is, what is it, the Seal Sharks or whatever it is? That's tremendous.
Yeah, Seals. The defunct NHL team. They were there in the 70s. Didn't pan out.
A man named Joe Starkey called their games, I'll have you know, and Craig Patrick played for them back when he had hair. But that's beside the point.
Which, by the way, one of these goofball anonymous Twitter guys claimed that you and I had some sort of a beef, Destiny's Child, and I had a couple of people in town say, what was this about? And I'm like, it's a moron anonymous guy who apparently has too much time on his hands. I said, Andrew and I think we disagreed about the use of a bullpen one day. Well, listen.
Yeah.
We're all, there's going to be times where we're going to disagree, and that's okay. I mean, it's always respectful, and you're my guy, and, you know, I got no problem with that. But why is it that we've become this society where anytime there's a little bit of a disagreement, there's, oh, there's a beef, they're this, they're that. We're just two guys talking about baseball. That's all.
Yeah, excuse us for having a conversation. Social media for me, I adopted Twitter late in my college. I didn't use it throughout high school or none of that. Like, I'm not a big social media guy, and I know that's where all this type of stuff starts, so not for me, but we're good, Paul. I'm sure we're on good terms, right?
May I start with four yes or no questions, Destiny's Child?
Please.
Did McCutchen ask to sit out that game against the Cardinals last Thursday?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. Is O'Neill Cruz reluctant to slide because of that injury last year or no?
No.
Okay. These are questions.
These are questions from listeners, by the way, that he's giving to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought somebody reported that. Not you know, I didn't know about McCutchen. Another yes or no question, if only I could find one. Is Yasmani Grandal, are his throws back to the pitcher unacceptable?
No, I don't think so.
All right, I'll stop at three. Paul, you go ahead.
Okay, you know what? It's been 4 or 5 days, but we got to go back to the St. Louis Cardinals, the getaway day game on Thursday. And I know you were over there, and I wrote a column about it where I was not very, very complimentary of the way that was handled. I'm wondering, can you explain why McCutchen, Gonzalez, and help me out, it was the third, Connor Joe, were on the bench to start the game? I might listen to why McCutchen, night game after night game, whatever, okay? With a day off on Monday, I'm not sure why your 24, 25-year-old second baseman needs a day off, you know, that night, day, but whatever. But how do you get to the eighth inning and the ninth inning in a one-run game and you don't use any of your three best, you know, three of your best hitters to pinch hit? The floor is yours.
Yeah, to that one, I will say in hindsight, after the scrum, because the focus for me of that game, watching it in person, was, okay, finally Mitch Keller had a bad start. And so that's where I went with my story. That was what was my focus. And I had chalked it up initially as, okay, well, these guys aren't in the starting lineup for the reasons that you just described, Paul, night game into a day game. There's also the factor that, you know, maybe this is nothing, maybe it is something, but you're transitioning from playing in St. Louis to Denver, where you're going to be playing at altitude. And for guys to segue with the travel of all that, maybe you want to give some guys who have been some of your more taxed players, that's a natural spot for a day off. However, that does not exclude the conversation of the late in game, which I completely agree with you, Paul. I don't have a legitimate explanation for that. It's something that, frankly, as the media, we should have been harder on Derek Shelton about, of why did you not pinch hit these guys in these spots, specifically after they'd gotten a runner on. I believe it was Ke'Bryan Hayes that had a single to put a guy aboard there in the ninth, where you then in that situation had to go the tying run on base. You had to go ahead run at the plate. Yeah, there's really no explanation for it. I'd be curious to hear what Derek Shelton has to say with you guys about it. But, you know, from our perspective in the media, we've moved on a few days after that in terms of asking him in our positions. But, yeah, I struggled to come up with answers in hindsight, especially after that game concluded.
Why didn't Skeens pitch Sunday? Why was he bumped to Monday, Andrew?
I think that's just to give him an extra day and to manipulate the day off that you have on Thursday. Part of it also, too, I mean, I don't think the Pirates are ever going to say this publicly, nor do they need to, but, like, you can, in this scenario, have Skeens go two home games within the same homestand, have him go Monday and Sunday. Another factor there is we saw it with Jared Jones in Colorado on Saturday. Like, him and Jared and Paul are very different pitchers. But it's no secret that Coors Field is, you know, not a nice ballpark to fly ball pitchers. And to some degree, that is Paul Skeens. And part of what makes him so good is because of all that movement that he generates. The fastball, while excellent, it's not, you know, a rising fastball that is going to be able to blow past hitters because of movement. It goes past hitters because it's so fast. You put all of that arsenal, the slider, the splinker, the curveball in Colorado, where off-speed pitches don't move as well. The fastball already is not one that, you know, generates a million swings and misses. It generates them because people are overpowered just by the velocity, not by the movement. So I think that was part of it, too, was you have an opportunity to go with a bullpen game. It's obviously not desirable, but in that situation, you're able to protect Skeens to some degree and also ensure that he can start at home where things are obviously a little bit more familiar than the wonky ballpark that is Coors Field.
And also you can get two starts at home with him, which means two bigger gates.
Yep. I don't think it's something to not. I think it's certainly part of this.
He mentioned that.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that. I thought you were talking. I was listening to all. I was so bedazzled by splinkers and curveballs in the air in Coors Field in Colorado. I missed that. I was actually paying attention to him. I just missed it.
Sort of, yes.
I was. I just,
usually
I,
I'm the one guilty of that, Destiny's Child, and
well,
I apologize.
What I'm saying is I was so enamored with all of the discussions about how hard it is to pitch in Colorado for certain pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I
right.
thought was
especially
fascinating.
Especially guys who were so reliant.
Which I thought was
guys
fascinating.
Guys who were relying on off-speed pitches. Yeah.
Yes. But you also, again, I mean, I think we're naive if we don't think that component of getting two home starts is a part of what that was all about. Are you at least on some level a little bit nervous about Jared Jones?
Yeah, a little bit. It's not to the degree that I don't think he's going to get through this, but, you know, I've had conversations with various people within the team or outside the organization about Jared, and the reality is that he's going to need to continue to develop that arsenal to be able to really pitch effectively against any kind of big league hitter. What he has right now with that fastball-slider combination is elite. Like, pause, no further notes, it is elite. His ability to tunnel those two pitches, they look the same out of the hand. They look the same practically until they get to home plate. The problem is pairing those two pitches with a third one, pairing them also with a fourth one. And the changeup and then curveball, while they've made some nice strides, right now at this stage in their, you know, infancy, I guess is what you would call it, which probably is unfair because he's thrown those pitches throughout the minors. But those are pitches more that he can steal strikes with versus induce swings and misses, induce double play balls, get guys to weakly pop out. Like, that's not where the changeup and the curveball are right now. They're such rarely used pitches, the changeup less so. We've seen that a little bit more the last couple of starts, but those pitches are more when guys are really sitting fastball slider after seeing him two times through, that in a 2-0 count, he can steal a pitch with a changeup. And then you go right back to the fastball and you've got a guy off balance. And I'm not concerned from a standpoint of him long-term, especially the arm care stuff. I know some people on social media have been worried about the velocity ticking down a little bit there in the start against Colorado. The velocity is not something I'm worried about right now. With me, for Jared, it's just a matter of continuing to develop as a pitcher, which is going to come, but there might be a few more of these rough patches first before we start to see it trend back in the right direction in terms of him really using a 3-4 pitch mix.
Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can call now to win two tickets to the Pirates game, July 5th at PNC Park. Join us for Bucko Luau that weekend and enjoy some baseball in the sun. All right, let's go to caller number three to our dear friend City Limits, 412-928-9370. And fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Who's going to pitch Friday against Tampa Bay, Andrew?
I think they're going to have to go with a bullpen game, but it's not impossible that Martin Perez comes off the injured list to start that one. I know that he did throw against live hitters on Monday, yesterday at PNC Park, so there's a potential there, but I would be pretty surprised if it's Perez. I imagine if they're being cautious, they roll with another bullpen game, and maybe that's Josh Fleming starting again in that kind of a role, or you could do the Carmen Majinski, Luis Ortiz route. I think both of those are certainly on the table for Friday.
What's really kind of like the status of Gonzalez, Perez, Priester? I mean, are these guys, I don't know, like are these guys at a point where, you know, we might see them soon? I mean, what can you kind of just give us an update on? I know you just said that Perez, they're probably going to be cautious with him, but I mean, it sounds like he might be the closest of these three.
Yeah, definitely. He's certainly the closest of the three. It's hard to say with Quinn Priester because he's been around the team and he's still working out, but he's still recovering from his specific injury. With Marco Gonzalez, he's thrown a few bullpens. I believe he's slated to throw one today at PNC Park. We saw him in St. Louis on what day was that? Wednesday. He threw one. That was his first. Him and Ryan Barucki, they both threw that day. They should have thrown as well in Colorado, and they'll throw again today. Those are kind of the last hurdles before those guys start to get closer to coming back. The next step, theoretically, from there after the three bullpen sessions would be face live hitters. And then because those guys have missed so much time, they'll begin rehab assignments. So I would say, yeah, with both Ryan Barucki and Marco Gonzalez, I would eye an early to mid-July return. With Martin Perez, it could be as soon as a week. With Quinn Priester, it would be unfair for me to come up with a timeline because I just really haven't seen much by way of development from him. But perhaps Pirates Director of Sports Medicine, Todd Tomczyk, we might get updates from him later this week, and I can give you guys a better idea there.
Paul, may I engage Destiny's Child in a game of free association?
Yes.
You ready?
Always am.
You'd stick with the bullpen games because it's worked for multiple wins now. Yes or no?
Yes, in the interim.
That was an interesting answer, wasn't it, Paul? Why not just stick with them? Tampa Bay's done it. I mean, I'm just asking. I don't necessarily think I would, but it's working. Why not just go with this?
I think it's okay to do it once a week, and this is probably obvious. I'm sure we're all on the same page about this, but like doing it twice in 3 days against the Rockies, that's not remotely sustainable. That's just going to tax your bullpen. I'm not a huge fan of you do the bullpen games and then you're sending guys down to AAA to recall somebody because your bullpen is so taxed, because then you're basically at that point wasting options. You know, I'm just not a huge fan of it. I understand doing it occasionally, but if it's more than 2-3 times a month, I feel like you're just asking for trouble. And also, let's factor in the reality that Paul Skenes, Jared Jones, you're trying to manage their innings a little bit. adding a bullpen game every fifth turn, that's going to tax the bullpen more. And you would want for Skeens and Jones to go deeper in games to help out a taxed bullpen because said taxed bullpen is working bullpen games. I think it's fine every now and then. You just can't do it consistently.
Good answer. My fault that we defeated the purpose of quick questions and quick answers. So let's pick it up from there and move. You ready, Andrew?
Noted.
All right. And again, that was 100% my fault, and it was a good and interesting answer. Skeens will make the All-Star team.
Yes.
Percent chance Skeens has to start the All-Star game.
10%.
Sawinski is going to be headed back to the minors soon.
Yes.
Key Brian Hayes, people asking me on social media, what happened to the toe tap that worked last year? Is that in fact a thing that the toe tap is missing?
Yes.
Why?
I had an interview with him. I'll keep this short. I talked with him in Toronto about it. He's trying to not think at the plate, not think about mechanics, and just go up there and swing. Because there were times in the past where he'd gotten a little bit too mechanical. So while the toe tap worked for a little bit last year, I would say it's unfair to say that was the key to his success in the second half last year. It was more just about his swing path.
Is he still working with Joe Nunnally?
I believe so, yes.
Do you think the Pirates are pleased about that?
No comment.
Who will catch most of the games the rest of the season?
Grandal.
Should the Pirates be interested in Jacob Stallings or Elias Diaz?
Stallings, yes.
Tellez is hot for good. He's going to stay hot here.
Not this hot, but hot.
When is Hank Davis coming back?
Unclear. Concussions are hard.
Endy going to play this year at all?
No.
How concerned are you with Tomar Johnson down in the minors? Level of concern, 1 to 5.
1, not remotely.
Pirates will make the playoffs.
No.
Destiny's Child, you're a wonderful man, a philanthropist, a spiritual guru, a patriot, and one of Paul's greatest influences.
Yes, can I ask you one question? You really don't think
please, Paul.
You don't think the Pirates are going to make the playoffs?
No. I'm steadfast in my preseason predictions, 79 and 83. I know there's 3 wild card spots. It's a lot of jumbled up stuff. The Cardinals are getting guys back. The Giants are finding their stride a little bit. I think there's teams that are deeper and more balanced.
And I'll tell you, the team that's got a big payroll that Joe pointed out that's slowly but surely coming is the Mets. And we've seen teams.
Yeah.
We've seen teams. Remember when the Nationals won the World Series? Where were they at in June? They were, you know, and they just. I mean, I tend to agree with you that probably there's some other teams that are deeper and a little better, but boy, with that. Three top starting pitchers. They're going to at least be in it as long as they can be in it, I think.
If I can add a caveat, it would be the current roster is not good enough to make the playoffs. If they add to it, maybe they could make the playoffs. But I don't think this current rendition is going to be able to make it.
Destiny's Child, you're a wonderful man, a philanthropist, a spiritual guru, a patriot, and one of Paul's greatest mentors. Thank you.
Pleasure's all mine, guys. Thanks as always.
See you, man.
Right. Bye-bye.
He's a treat, isn't he,
He's
Paul?
Wonderful. He's great.
What a man he is. Hey. Huh, City Limits, you agree with all that?
Yes, he's the man. I was talking to Destiny's Child yesterday about the game.
And I noticed between segments here, you and him were shooting the breeze, so
yes,
to speak.
We're in the same age range.
Very nice, man. I mean, hard to picture him getting really angry, isn't it?
It would be very hard, yes.
Yeah, you two are similar in that respect. What,
Joe,
Paul?
I was going to say... Remember this shot here? People could talk about the sand shot from DeChambeau, but this one.
Where he's under the tree next to
the
root
and everything else, and he actually puts it in the sand, which was a great place for it to be.
Yeah, better than a lot of other places he could have put it.
Where do you think you could get that ball if you had this shot?
I had this shot the other day. I had a shot when we were playing together that was in a hole near like a rose bush or something on that course.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even get it. I couldn't even get it out. Like, I couldn't pop it up even to get it out of that situation. And I swore and slammed my club. So this guy, this is unbelievable. There's a tree on his back when he makes this
and
shot.
He's hitting out of leaves and whatever. What is this? All this all garbage. Oh, look at this. Look
he's
at this.
Shooting off sticks and leaves.
There's a root there, too.
I know. We got to go. Yeah, he's yelling in my ear.
Why is he yelling?
Okay. Because we have to get to Bomboli and then Shelty. I'm sorry, Paul.
No worries. Bye-bye.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Derek Shelton, top of the hour. Lots of questions for him. But first, Mr. Jonathan Bomboli of the Trib, a man I've known since the old days, back when Dave Molinari first started not talking to me in Wilkes-Barre. I believe that was the place where it first happened, where we were both beat writers, and there was no communication. Jonathan was witness to that, the beginning of a tremendous era of Penguins media. But that's not the point here. You can see Jonathan on your screen at 937thefan.com. Jonathan, Wayne Gretzky said the other night that Alexander Barkov is the best defensive hockey player he's seen since Brian Trottier. What did you make of that line?
I think, you know, we get recency bias in the playoffs and everything. I mean, say the guy we've seen most recently is the best. But the best defensive forward I covered, I would say it was probably Patrice Bergeron in Boston. I always thought he was, you know, just that's because of the job he did on Sidney Crosby. I mean, but Barkov's in that conversation, that great two-way center who can impact the game, scoring goals and defending against great centers like Connor McDavid. So,
you know who Steige said was the best defensive forward he's ever seen? Mario, when he was of a mind to play defense, like in the playoffs when cups were to be won, he said Mario is the best defensive forward he's ever seen.
That's probably fair. I mean, he could do whatever he put his mind to. I thought he was going to say Bob Gainey because Steige's a little older than us. But.
Yeah.
That's not a shot. I didn't mean to.
Yeah. No. It's shocking. It's shocking that Steiger Water would come up with Lemieux. But anyway, which Steiger Water are we talking about?
Paul.
Oh, okay.
But when Mario wanted to.
I thought you meant his brother.
No. When Mario wanted to, that's what he was, I think.
The answer to everything, anything athletically, always comes back to Lemieux for John Steigerwald. Just like in football, it comes back to Cordell Stewart. But anyway, Jonathan, the Panthers really smothered the Oilers for two games and two periods of game three. And you've obviously covered hockey and been around hockey for a long, long time. In the third period of that second game, the Oilers scored a couple of goals, and it seemed like they had a little bit more room to operate. It seemed like they kind of started to figure some things out, and then, of course, they score eight or whatever it was in game four. Do you see that as a sign that maybe this series could turn around, or do you kind of feel like Florida will get back to what they were doing and close it out tonight? I guess it's tonight.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's possible Edmonton gets back in it and makes it a series. And I think what you saw in the first four games is that I think it's impossible to really smother a team as talented as Edmonton in that top line. The top two lines when they break up Draisaitl and McDavid, it's impossible to smother them for a seven game series. I mean, they're just too good and they're too fast and they're going to make some plays. And I think a big part of that 3-0 lead that Florida took was goaltending. Bob was amazing. Like really high end, you know, great goaltending. And meanwhile, Edmonton with Skinner got pretty bad goaltending. And then it flips in game four and you get an 8-1 final. And it starts to make you think, you know, if the goaltending ends up even, because in the you know, the first three games, it was huge pro Bob. And in the last game, it was anti Bob. If it ends up being even, maybe Edmonton does have enough to get back in the series. But I don't know. I might be biased a little bit because I picked Edmonton at the beginning of the playoffs. So I'm sort of like rooting for them because that strong sense to want to be right is, we all have it. And that's sort of where I am with Edmonton. I like Florida plays this way too. I just love teams that, you know, when you say they smothered them in the first couple games, and they did, but they didn't smother them like in a Devil's 90s trap kind of way. They smothered them in a fast, aggressive forecheck kind of way. And they made it impossible for them to make good decisions because they were flying around with young, physical, good forwards that made it impossible. And Edmonton does that sometimes too. And that's the kind of style I like to watch. And I think that's the wave of the future. And you know how everybody after the Stanley Cup Finals is like, what kind of lesson can we learn from these teams? And usually the answer is get a hot goaltender. But I think that idea of the way you really have a, you know, you play defense in the modern NHL is to harass the opposing team with a fast young forecheck. I love that. I hope that's the lesson that comes out of this finals.
Paul, may I engage Jonathan in a game of free association?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jonathan, these are short questions and short answers, ideally. Are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
Jake Guentzel will be back with the Penguins next season.
No.
The Penguins' top two goalies next year will be?
Tristan Jarry and, by the end of the year, Joel Blomqvist.
How do you say his name?
It's probably Blomqvist.
I was more interested in the pronunciation.
Yoel. I know it's Yoel.
Yeah, the first name. Yoel. When did it? When did that Yoel. Change from Joel? His whole life, I guess? Yeah.
Swedes are cooler than us. They do stuff like that.
Which young guys will shine for the Penguins next season? Give me two.
The first guy that comes to mind is Ponomarev, because I think he's like the closest to NHL ready.
Riley Smith, Ryan Graves, and Raquel will all be back.
No way. I think it would be hard to move all of them, but moving one of them, definitely.
Which one is most likely to be moved?
I think Riley Smith, because of his playoff pedigree. He'll be easier to move.
Carlson is 100% back.
Yeah, I think so. They're committed to him.
If it were up to you, you would approach one of the three, Carlson, Malkin, or Letang, and say, we'd like to move you.
Well, it would only be Carlson, because I wouldn't do that to Malkin or Letang, because I feel like that decision was made a couple of years ago.
Give me
probably not. I think Carlson can get it together. With David Quinn, he'll help a little bit.
That's what I wanted to ask you, too, the David Quinn move in a couple of sentences. Did you like it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a Sullivan guy. They're boys. And the messaging is that Carlson's best hockey was played under David Quinn. And so that's the benefit of bringing him in. I don't know if that works. I mean, you know, I'm not sure that Carlson's, you know, strong play is based on who coached him, but it can't hurt.
Give me a worse job than a porta potty cleaner.
A worse job. You know, my dream job was always to be a toll taker on the turnpike, and now they're taking out those booths.
None of them are left anymore. Why is that? Paul, are you saddened by that?
I always wanted to do it.
What? They're taking
it's really
out
crushing for me.
Yeah, you just drive through, and then they wind up sending you. I got like 10 letters last month of tolls. They've made it more cumbersome. And
but that's why they want you to get an easy pass.
They do?
Yes.
I don't want one.
They want you. Yeah. You should get one because it's cheaper.
I don't want one. I want to talk and interact with a toll booth worker. I want them to have jobs, and I want to give them money and not get letters.
So, for instance, like when you come back from Ohio to Pennsylvania, you know, that first booth that you hit there on it, right?
Yeah.
If you have an easy pass, it's like $4.50. If you don't, it's like $13.
Jonathan, I missed
toll
booth.
Why would you not get an easy pass?
Because I don't want one. I don't want to be forced into one. I want to interact with a human being. Jonathan,
I want to spend a lot more money.
I don't want to spend any. I don't know. Here's the reason why I take 68 through West Virginia down to D.C., because I don't want to give the state of Pennsylvania $80 or whatever the hell it is right now.
Well, that's fine.
In toll booth tolls. Get out of here with this.
I'm just saying, you don't like getting a letter in the mail that you have to pay.
And Jonathan.
You could pay a lot. It'd be a lot cheaper for you just to get the Easy Pass.
Joe, I don't want to gang up on you or anything, but you're giving the state of Pennsylvania more money by not getting an Easy Pass.
What?
You're giving them more money because you don't have an Easy Pass.
All right. What about toll booth workers themselves? Don't you want people in the booths where you can say, hello, how are you, have a nice day, and hand them money?
I always thought that was my dream job because I think my superpower is I never get bored.
Thank you, Jonathan.
I think I could sit in that booth. I'd like to do the overnight shift. Somebody comes by every like hour and a half. I give them change. I could totally do that.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, good to talk to you.
You too. That's Jonathan Bomboli. Paul, I used to take money in a parking garage, Chatham Center parking garage, for the Penguins Cups with Mario and company in 91-92. I was the guy sitting in the garage. For the Sully Cups, I was up in the press box. Isn't that exciting?
Yes. The Sully Cups.
Yeah.
For those two cups, I was actually like in the auxiliary press area behind one of the goals.
Really? Yeah. That's actually a good place to be.
Yeah.
Better than the regular press box. We have to go because Shelty's coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.